And if you turn to the book of 1 John, it'll be easy to follow along because that's where our text is tonight. 1 John. And I want to ask you this question. How is your fellowship with God today? How is your fellowship with other believers today? And sometimes it's good to measure this. And my desire tonight with this message is to give us some insights, some thoughts on fellowship and how it looks, helping us understand that word better. As Baptists, we know it has something to do with food. But more than that, sometimes we fail to realize what fellowship is about or the depth that it reaches. And as I've been studying this and thinking on it, I've had conversation with others in this room in times past, which has caused me to consider the depth of fellowship and see that it's something deeper. And I don't claim to fully understand it now, but I believe there's some basic truths about it that will do our hearts good to understand. And we'll find them in 1 John tonight. He's also the one that wrote the Gospel of John. And the Gospel of John is written that we might believe. He sums it up nicely. He also says that something very similar in John 5:13. He says, "These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life." But as I look at the themes of these books, it seems like 1 John is really written to disciples. And if I could give it a theme, it would be fellowship. Notice in verse number 1, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." There's two planes tonight that I want to look at fellowship on. And the first would be our relationship with God, our fellowship with God. The second would be toward fellow believers, primarily, is the scope of this message. And John points out here in verse 3 that we have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. Now, you go throughout your day-to-day, maybe that wasn't the first thing on your thoughts. Maybe you didn't realize the reality of that through every moment of your day. And I confess at times it seems like I'm not close to God. I can be thinking about Scripture, but it's like I don't sense the reality of that fellowship. But nonetheless, it doesn't change the fact of what can be and what should be. And each of us have the privilege and the possibility to fellowship with God. Anywhere in our lives, any moment of our day, we can fellowship with God. And that's the intent. And John says, "I'm writing this because I want you to have this." You see, these apostles, it's easy for us to look at them and say, well, they walked with Christ. They had him right there with him. But as we'll note, our fellowship is with the Trinity. It's with God the Father, with the Son, I believe, as he'll point out, with the Holy Ghost as well. And the Holy Ghost is with us every single moment, making fellowship with God possible. So I wanted you to note in verse 5, as we consider our fellowship with God, first of all, with the Father, John says, if you're going to have this fellowship with God, get this, it's in light. And in the Bible, we have light primarily contrasted with darkness. Light is a picture of the righteousness, of the nature of the Holy God, as darkness would be sin and unrighteousness. And so the saved are said to be children of light. Jesus came as light, and that's reiterated many times. And this light is always pictured with life that God gives. It says in John 1, and this, I have it somewhere on here. I'll come across it. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And he says, "I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." But our fellowship with God, it must be in accordance with his nature. This is what establishes fellowship with God. And he said in verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." So spiritual fellowship results from a new nature. And this makes sense because what happened to Adam? Adam experienced true spiritual fellowship with God. And he, as well as Enoch, walked with God. But sin came in and broke that fellowship. And though he was still made in the image of God, he did not experience the spiritual life that God had imparted to him. It wasn't a salvation that he had, but he had a fellowship with God as being part of God's creation. And as sin comes in, that fellowship is broken, and a relationship has to be restored. And you see that one of the purposes of our salvation is to give us this fellowship with God. In 2 Corinthians 6, 14 and 15, the Lord makes this clear, the purpose of this new covenant. He says, "For be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concordeth Christ with Belial? Or what parteth he that believeth with an idol, with an infidel?" Excuse me. "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith God Almighty." So God intends that we have fellowship with him, but it only comes about through a new nature and through this new birth that he offers to us. He says, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." As we think of the new nature, we think of maybe the sin nature of the ability to sin, or I want you to think of it in the capacity. Not only is the new nature a capacity to do what's right, but it's the capacity to bring God into all of our lives, that God is our life now. Such as the lost man, he doesn't have a capacity to serve God and to do what's right. He only has a capacity to serve himself and his things. And this is brought out in our daily lives. As God says, the plowing of the wicked is sin. He says his righteousness is as filthy rags. He points out that he is not pleased with the wicked man because he has no fellowship with him, the man who's lost. Versus the saved man, he says, whether we eat or drink, we can do it to the glory of God. Amen. And so as we think of this new nature, it's in light. John says, I want you to have fellowship with God. It's the very fellowship we have, but it comes in the path of light, in a new nature. And today, you may know a lot about God, be very a student of God's word, but have no true fellowship with God because you don't have a divine nature in you of his light. And we can have that through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And secondly, he says, our fellowship is with the Son, Jesus Christ. I look at this as it's in righteousness. And he shows this in the next verses. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. He goes on in verse 1. He shows that we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. Skip down to verse 3. As we think about our fellowship with Jesus Christ, he says, and hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. So I want you to notice briefly our fellowship with Christ, it's in righteousness. That's our daily walk. And John says, I want you to have this fellowship that we have with God. It's through a new nature, through Christ. But in our daily life, it is by continuing to walk in the path of the divine nature. Such as in Ephesians, he said, you're now light in the Lord, walk as children of light. He says it's impossible. He makes the case in the book of John over and over to say that we're fellowshipping with a holy God, but living in sin. He says that just doesn't work. That's not true. We're deceiving ourselves somewhere along the line. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. As I think of fellowship with Christ, it's in so many different things, but a couple of them are in obedience. This was shown in the text that as we keep his commandments, I believe we fellowship with Christ as we do the things that he told us. So we're walking in that path of righteousness. In sufferings, Paul mentioned this in Philippians 3. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. I don't think we'd get a large show of hands, you know, if we said, how many of you would like to know God deeper through sufferings tomorrow? You know, God's going to bring you sufferings tomorrow, but you'll really experience fellowship with Christ. We don't necessarily ask for that, but it could be a benefit of the sufferings that we view as bad. We're getting to partake of a deeper understanding of, really, we'd never realized Christ could be all that to us, that we find him in those low times in our life. And so Paul fellowshiped with Christ in sufferings, in power, in our witness, we fellowship with Christ. So we're called to fellowship with him. Colossians 2:6, if you've ever gotten a note from pastor or he signs his name, he often signs Colossians 2:6. And it says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Reiterating to us that this fellowship with Christ means to walk like he walks. Because it makes sense, fellowship, one of the ideas that fellowship has is a shared life. And so the divine life is given to us so that fellowship is possible by a relationship with God. And the divine life is given to us so it's possible by an obedient walk with Christ. Notice thirdly, fellowship with the Spirit. Verse 4, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. I believe here he speaks of a fellowship with the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13:14. Paul says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion, same word, of the Holy Ghost. I wonder if you know the communion of the Holy Ghost with him, guiding you in your life, asking him questions, getting his leadership, getting his teaching of the word, telling him you can't do without him today. He's inseparable to your life. Jesus didn't send him to you just because he thought now and then we might need him, but he knew that we could not live without dependence on the Holy Spirit. In Philippians 2:1, Paul talks about the fellowship of the Spirit. He points this out, John, previously in the first gospel in chapter 14, as Jesus is speaking about the Holy Spirit coming, and he says that in verse 21 and 23 that he will manifest himself to us through the person of the Holy Spirit, that God the Father and God the Son would be real to us. We'd experience their fellowship by the Holy Spirit. He says, we will come unto you. We will make our abode with you. Because the Holy Spirit produces that divine life in us and the reality of God with us. And it's in all our senses. It says, and this the joy, and that's a fruit of the Spirit. And in verses 1 through 3 where we read earlier, John talks about how real this was. And you see, we don't walk with Jesus personally in the same way, but through the Holy Spirit, it can be so real, as he says, we have seen with our eyes. First of all, he says that we've heard. It's how we grasp the sense with our senses. We've heard, we've looked on, we've handled, we've declared, we've witnessed. And it really can be that real fellowship with the Spirit in our daily life, empowering us and searching us, leading us. And I think it's good that we would consider that. Do I really know the communion of the Holy Spirit? I think we'll never be fruitful in our witness until we learn to walk with him. And because he knows the hearts of all men and can show us exactly where the word applies to each person. And we need his fellowship. So our fellowship with God. Secondly, I want you to consider our playing with others. But I want to make a difference here between fellowship and relationship, okay? So I want you to think of your relationship with God as something that is stable and unchanging. Several years ago, we got an opportunity to, actually it was quite a few years ago, I was younger, to tour a Navy ship. It had been docked, and I've been on a couple ships, but I noticed the anchor chains, the massive size of the anchor chains. I don't know if chains is still the go-to thing to hold anchors now, or whether it's ropes of certain strengths, I don't know. But on these older ships, there was these giant chains. Each link, I don't know what one weighed, but I'm sure it was a lot. You could do a workout with two links. And it's put down by, you know, huge forces, motors, and Mr. Schmidt probably knows all about that. Brother Leslie, my dad, you know, there's people that have worked with this and know about this. But none of us in this room could do anything to break one of those links of ourselves. You would need some powerful equipment, some cutting torches, or something beyond ourselves to break such a link as that. And that stands in contrast to a paper chain. Maybe you've been around Christmas time and you're making some crafts and you cut strips of paper and you tape them together or staple them together, and then you get another one, tuck it inside, and you begin to make this chain out of paper. And I think everybody in this room could successfully win a strong contest and rip that paper chain quite easily. The one pictures our relationship with God. Paul says there's nothing that'll separate us from the love of God. As we walk through our life and we sin, we get out of fellowship with God, it doesn't break the mighty hold of that anchor chain. And Paul pictures it to the anchor that we have of the soul that's sure and steadfast. So nothing can break that chain of relationship with God. And that brings eternal security, because the strength of the chain is the strength of Christ, and he holds the soul. But on the other hand, our fellowship with God is very tender and delicate. And sometimes maybe we don't pay enough attention. It says that the smallest thing can grieve the Holy Spirit. We're told not to quench the Holy Spirit. And it's sometimes so subtle we don't realize it till God begins to speak to us about some things, and some things have been going on. We're like, wow, I didn't realize this issue has been in my life, and we have to get it taken care of. So as we think of our fellowship with God, it's always going to affect my service for God and the manifestation of his life through me. But I'm so glad the chain of sonship, that this divine nature can never be broken, but we have to watch out for the smaller chain of fellowship, because a lot can break it. But consider, secondly, our fellowship with believers tonight. Notice, if you look down in verse 10 of chapter 2, John points this out many times through the book because it's so closely linked with our fellowship with God. But he says in verse 9, "He that saith he is in the light," in other words, he has fellowship with God, "and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him." As we think of our fellowship with other believers, our fellowship is based on commonalities. In the Bible uses this word common, and it comes from the same word that fellowship comes from there. And he speaks of in Philippians 1:5 that the fellowship of the gospel. So as believers in Christ, we have a certain fellowship. We can go across the world, and even somebody you don't agree completely with, but you know that they're a Christian, a brother in Christ like you are, there's just an automatic fellowship. Because you have the Savior. Sometimes that fellowship can't go to the depth you want it to go, but nonetheless, there is that fellowship. In Titus 1:4 and Jude 3, the Bible speaks of the common faith. It's common to all. We have a common fellowship. It's communion based on commonalities, the things that we have in common. The Bible uses this word, partaker. Again, comes from the same word. And in Acts 2:42, we see that they had all things in common. We'll look at that maybe in a minute, a little deeper. But the Bible uses these words as we think of the fellowship we have with other believers. It says fellow citizens, we have the same home, fellow disciples, fellow heirs, fellow helpers, fellow workers, fellow laborers, fellow prisoners, fellow soldiers, fellow saints, fellow servants. It uses all those terms, and many of them Paul uses addressing different helpers he had in the ministry. And we work together. That's a part of our fellowship. It's with other believers, and it's based on our relationship with Christ. Secondly, fellowship is giving. As we think of how fellowship relates one toward another in the body, this involves investment and sacrifice. Fellowship is giving. 2 Corinthians 8:4, and I was just following this word of fellowship and the different places it was used, and it says this, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. So here he's talking about they were giving to the saints. They were raising some people out of the desire to give to help poor Christians in another region. And they said, we're going to give. We're going to work together to give them money. And it was called fellowship. It means to give. In verse 14, he goes down and he says, "But by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and their abundance may also be a supply for your want, that there may be an equality." So there's a sharing of your abundance, your blessings that you've received with others. In chapter 9, verse 13, he says, this is 2 Corinthians, while by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal, generous distribution unto them and to all men. These people that received it were very grateful for the fellowship. And that word distribution, again, the same word. The distribution. Romans 12, 13 says, distributing, this word, to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. In Acts, you see this picture as they had not only all things in common, but if you look over even in chapter 4, it goes through how that those who had great possessions or anything at all, that they were willing to share it with others. And so they gave to each other's need. And that's quite an example. So that it says that they didn't even call anything their own. They gave up their rights of ownership to bless one another and to experience true fellowship. And our concept of fellowship has to go deeper in that it's giving, it's investment, it's sacrifice. Look back. Okay, the fellowship is with God and a divine nature, right? That's God giving. We don't attain that. We don't reach that. God doesn't come down because we're so worthwhile to pick up and use. It's totally sacrificial on his part. It's totally because he sees it's going to be an investment. And he sees a worth. You know, as we think of fellowshipping with other believers, it costs to give. It costs to invest, to pour yourself out. And sometimes the return doesn't seem very satisfying or a lot that keeps... You don't feel like you want to keep doing it. But that's part of fellowshipping. It's giving to the necessity of the saints. Giving of yourself, your time, your talents. Maybe food too. But it's giving. It's a loving care. Galatians 6:2, I thought there were some thoughts that encompass fellowship. And one would be, it says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. 1 Corinthians... No, that's not. That's the wrong reference there. Romans 15, 1 through 3. This same thought is expressed as he says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. And it goes on. This fellowship as we think of giving. How am I fellowshipping toward others in this body by giving? Bearing their burdens. That's a way we can give. Maybe a greater way than we realize. Restoring relationships. In the previous verse in Galatians, he says, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. It takes a lot of work to work through conflicts, but that's a way we can give and keep that unity of fellowship in the body. Galatians 2:9, it says that they gave Paul and Barnabas, those disciples, the right hand of fellowship as they sent them out and blessed them and said, we're with you. And I think that's, you know, maybe that's why we shake the right hand, you know, in some cultures. I'm glad we don't kiss around here, you know, that I don't, not too comfortable with that kind of culture. But, yeah, that's fine, ladies with ladies and all that, but I don't want to go around kissing men. But anyways, you got to fellowship with ways that are appropriate in your culture. But they gave him the right hand of fellowship. And I think when someone comes in, that just means we're encouraging. We give by being encouraging. You don't be a negative battery charge that just, as soon as they touch you, their blood just drains out and they suddenly feel the weight of all your problems right through that fingertip and they leave you depressed. You know, we have burdens, we have struggles, but be one to give. Be an energy giver by the Lord's power. So it's in giving. Notice also that fellowship is in discipling. Jesus really pictured this as he took his disciples and walked with them. My mind is going back to different people, even some here, that you know we've had our family or me personally had a direct, you know, spending a lot of time with versus others that have come and gone to this church that I never really got to know well. I never... you know, maybe spent near the amount of time with them. And whether they're here now or they've left, it's just this thought of the difference of a one-on-one spending time with people as far as that type of fellowship needed to truly disciple someone. Jesus says, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And Jesus, after he said, repent, you know, he told them to believe, We see this divine nature of fellowship. He says, then he says, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. You're going to have to be really close to me for extended time to progress in my ways. And it's going to take a lot of sacrifice and time, one-on-one, us with other people, investing in their lives, maybe having them over in our homes, to produce in them that, especially younger Christians, they need that fellowship if they're going to grow like they should. And God can help us to do this. You don't have to be perfect. Transparency is a good thing. You're not showing them how perfect you are. You're teaching them to observe what Christ commanded you. Right. So you're growing together in a likeness to Christ. Someone has said, make your greatest investments people, not things. Spiritual, not physical. Eternal, not temporal. As we think of fellowship as a shared life, John says, we have the fellowship with God. If you caught that in the middle, he said, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. But he took time to write them this letter. He said, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And so discipling is just bringing someone along with all that you found in Christ. You're not trying to teach them the greatest truths of the Bible and something you don't even understand. But it's taking someone that's not as, probably not as spiritually as mature. Sometimes they are, but in that case, it's ironing, sharpening iron. Iron, sharpening iron. But fellowship, as we think of, is discipling. And Paul, as we think of it being a conforming, Paul says, as we mentioned before, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. He goes on to say, being made conformable to his death. So Paul says, as I fellowship with Jesus, I'm going to be more like him. And the people you're fellowshipping with, you are having an effect on, and they are affecting you. And you're becoming more like them, and they are becoming more like you, to some extent. And so we need the positive energy of God to not become conformed to the world, but to transform those around us by renewing the minds and setting them on God's word in Christ and bringing them up to a higher level of fellowship. And as including that thought of earlier, where I am today in my life is really due to the investment others have put in me. Fellowship, discipling. I think that's one of the most powerful things, the environment that others have put around me. So lastly here, I wanted you to give you a test. You know, we go throughout the day and say, how's my fellowship? If you turn to Romans chapter 14, this is our last reference, I think you'll be blessed by looking at this passage. How's our fellowship today? Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Three tests to our fellowship, briefly. Righteousness. Is my fellowship promoting godliness? In my words, is it centered around God's word? That's righteousness. You know, test yourself. Is the conversation I'm having, is God going to be pleased with it? Is it building someone else up? Is it edifying? The test of righteousness. Spiritually deepening. Secondly, he says, it's in peace. You know, that kind of cuts out gossiping and murmuring. That's not the kind of fellowship we should be having, but it's in peace. And it's promoting a one accord spirit. It's promoting someone to work out through their problems, the struggles of life. It's peace. I mean, you're being a peace bearer, or maybe you're receiving some peace that you need. It's promoting peace between two people. Harmony, oneness, a likeness to Christ. That's peace. That's unity. And then joy. Am I giving spiritual energy when I fellowship? Or am I draining? Do I come to someone and expect them to pick me up? Or do I try, Lord, use me to pick them up? How can I give? How am I approaching how I contact and speak to other people? Something uplifting, refreshing, encouraging, thankfulness. You know, it's not that you have to be a bubble of joy, but it's God's joy, and just to be like, God, I don't have this joy. It's supernatural. It's a fruit of the Spirit. God, I don't have anything to give anybody at church tonight, but just give them something through me. I don't want to be in the way so you can minister to someone here, minister to somebody there. The joy test. And there's one more. It's not exactly in this text, but he mentions, I think of the apostles. And this would be the boldness or witnessing test. As we fellowship with Christ, they took notice of Peter and John, that they were bold. And they said, you must have been with Jesus to get that type of boldness. And sometimes, you know, you go somewhere, you meet people, and I don't feel like my fellowship's right with God that to be an effective witness at the moment. But that could be a good test of maybe I need to get my fellowship back on track. So our fellowship with God, there's so much more can be said about this. But take those tests of righteousness, of peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's acceptable to God and approved to men. So let's pray tonight. God, I